The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. I speak only to the greater glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I was just looking through my Facebook this morning, and I came across an article. Now, my Facebook is full of religious scholars and priests, and probably looks a fair bit different than the normal person's, but one article caught my attention that was, 3 out of 4 Christians today now believe in what is called the prosperity gospel, or at least influenced by prosperity theology, which is a growing movement in American Christianity that says, basically, if God likes you, you will do really, really well in the world. And if you're doing really, really well in the world, if you have the fancy car, the private jet, etc., then God must really, really be happy with you. Ergo, if anything's going badly for you, you might need to check yourself and see if you've offended the Almighty in some way, if you're not living up to everything God would have you do, because if you lived a righteous life, things would be going great for you. It's often preached by the preachers you see on television shows who do have multiple private jets, have all of the designer clothing, beautiful cars, and yet for some reason still ask that you send them more and more and more money, that you might be blessed by God. Now, it's an appealing message, certainly, for those of us who do struggle in a world racked with inflation, where things are becoming only harder and harder to succeed in this world, to be told that if you're one of the elect, if you believe in Jesus, if you just say and believe the right things, then trust me, all this wealth, all these riches, all this power will be thrust upon you by God. And it's also easy to make the poor despondent, to say that if you're struggling, well, it's because you're just not good enough of a person. I mean, it's a very damaging philosophy, but we can see where it permeates through American culture, especially in kind of popular Barnes & Noble religious section Christianity. But we also see that the same problem existed in Jesus' time. Today we have Peter talking to Jesus right after he had this wonderful, grandiose moment of being told, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." After he's had this moment of being told, "Ah, you finally get it. Your confession, your belief understands the amazing thing that's happening in this world. You are the first among the apostles. I will build my church on you." Just after that wonderful exchange, Jesus says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." I mean, it's quite a fall from going to from the rock upon which the church will be built to the incarnation of Satan. But what changes between those two things? Jesus, when he's first talking to Peter, is affirming that he is the Son of God, the one coming into the world to help them, to give them power, to give them all of the vindication they've wanted from the Roman Empire, to make it life start to look actually good for the Jewish people. And for that, Peter is extremely excited. But once Jesus begins to tell his disciples, quote, that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests, once he tells them that, yeah, this saving you, this bringing in a new era that I'm doing, doesn't mean everything's going to be easy and wonderful and perfect from a worldly perspective. In fact, your life's about to get a lot harder and a lot more confusing really quickly. In fact, I'm not going to ride in as a conquering king, taking out everyone you don't like with my great train of warriors. Instead, I'm going to be tortured and killed as a criminal, as an outcast, by the religious authorities, by everyone who you would see as the righteous people in this world. I'm going to be cast out as an outcast and left with the thief and the beggar outside of the city. And for that, Peter says, oh, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. You have the favor of God. How can you not have the perfect, the most blessed, the happiest life ever? It's supposed to be good for us from now on. But to that, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are a temptation to me. Just as Satan is tempting Jesus earlier in the Gospels by saying, if you just bow to me, I'll make you the king of everything. You'll rule over all the world. All the kingdoms of the earth shall be yours. All the money, power, wealth. If you just forget about all of this suffering, all of this sacrifice, if you just turn and actually take in the good life, then we'll give it to you. But the same temptation that he turns down from the devil earlier in the gospel, he turns down from St. Peter here. That he should, because he is the anointed Son of God, have everything go perfectly well in his life. Obviously, that's not the way the gospel ends. And he answers Peter, if anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross, which was not a metaphor in that time, and follow me. For those who want to save their life or soul, the same word in Greek, will lose it. And those who lose their soul for my sake will find it. For what does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? What does it profit us if we gain every wealth and comfort in this world, but still, at the end of our lives, die and watch it all vanish away? What good is it to us if we gain all wealth and power in this world, but lack the things that truly endure? A happy soul, good relationships, people that do actually inform and better our lives. Because we'll find that the more we gain, the more we just continue to want. But God tells us instead to put faith in those things that will fulfill, put faith in those things that do actually stand to make us happy, and those things that do not pass away when we certainly will pass away. But that temptation lies still in today's world. The idea to believe that if God is happy with us, if we believe rightly, if we do rightly, then life should be easy, wonderful, simple, comfortable. And that's not the world that God offers us. As we can see, it's not the world that God offered even his own apostles. It's not the world that God offered even his own Son. For the minute that Christ is affirmed to be the Son of God, he starts to talk about all the trials, tribulations, and difficulties he will have to go through. But it is natural for us to shy away from that, to want an easier life, to want the comforts of this world. But Christ reminds us that though they are nice in the time, they too are passing away. That we may gain the whole world, but lose our very soul, our very life, what makes us truly human. Instead, he urges us to grasp firmly on to those things that do not pass away. To, unlike Peter, not get caught up in how difficult the path may be, but instead willfully take up our cross and follow him. For he promises that if we endure the difficult things in life, if we endure all that the world has to throw at us, and if we decide to be Christians and follow in the path of Christ, we may see what the world really has to throw at us. If we endure to the end, we may find the rewards that do not pass away. We may find our soul. We may find what life really can be. We may find life as God has it. Amen.